for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Monday morning, May the 30th, 2011. Richard Tate is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Moving Forward.
I'm going to read a little different translation, probably you've never heard before. I just wrote it. And so, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, Glenn and Irma left California, and they came to Hot Springs. When they came there, they preached at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And they also had Kevin to their minister. However, little did Kevin know that there wasn't really there. The translators put it in there because they didn't want to give Kevin too much oomph. Because it really means they also had John to minister. And as Kevin found out as he went along, that was their idea. Because against his will, like me, he got there like I got here, you know, against my will. But God had a plan. And I just really want to recognize Kevin for all that he does behind the scene. I know it's embarrassing. That's just too bad because he's over me and he puts me in positions too. And he loves to give you 4 days notice when you're going to be speaking. Like, you know, if you get it the night before, you're happy. But for all the work that he does, I mean, behind the scenes. You know, I don't have any idea what I'm going to say today, and that's for real. I don't have, you know, 9 pages in the thing I can do. I tried that and it didn't work. God just says, you don't get that kind of leeway. I'm going to hold you here, and I'll use you the way I want to use you, or I won't use you at all. Because I'm a yeller. You know, I mean, everybody knows I'm kind of an A-plus personality. And, you know, and he spoke to me real early, you know. You're going to talk to them. If you want to be talked to rather than yell at, then you talk to the people. And boy, that killed me because I thought, can I just be like Marjorie Gardner with this microphone running up and down the platform and just... He said, no, because I'm not interested in you. I want the people to be able to hear what you had to say. So I just, you know, I just thank God so much for Kevin because I get all these tapes and stuff afterwards and I can go back, besides hearing everybody else, I can hear what I said. Then I can write notes and say, oh, well, that sounds better than what I had in my note. Because I'm a rabbit trail guy. And I found out for myself, I never knew there were rabbit trails that I got here. I mean, I never heard the term. We just kind of, never, they don't have rabbits in California. They ate them a long time ago. Coyotes we have. But I pretty much live there. You know, that's just how it's been with me. And I'm so glad, Lord Jesus, just help us this morning. Help me, you know, that we just do what you want us to do and be pleasing in your sight. Amen. You know, I'm glad that God didn't have a cookie cutter. But He's got a lot of people who think they got a cookie cutter. And a lot of them got labels on them and they stand behind these pulpits and they tell you how to live. They tell you how you should be. This is the truth, and do it. But I find that God has a variety of ways to look at the same truth. Many, many ways. It's like a building, and you have 4 guys. We've all done that, 4 guys. And each one of them takes a side, and then they come back, and they describe the building. And then you give it to somebody and say, what do you think about that? He says, well, those 4 buildings are really nice. Because the person didn't know that they weren't standing in front of 4 people standing in front of different buildings. They thought they were standing in front of different buildings, when actually they were just seeing 4 sides of the same building. And He's that way. He likes variety. I mean, just look around. Well, don't look around, but just remember what's around. He likes variety. He's got quiet people and loud people. You know, he said, I can use anybody. You know how I am. Just any old pipe will do. Just be willing. You know, you've been here for this time, and God's done a work. And if He hasn't, you wasted your time, His time, and our time. God's done a work. Don't let it fall to the ground. You know, when you go back home, don't let the enemy come rob it from you. It cost you too much. It wasn't free. I don't think. It never was free with me. In fact, usually you tell me what's going to cost before it came up, then I have to make a decision. Am I for or am I against it? If I'm against it, am I willing to go through it? Because I know in the end, He's working good for me. It took me a long time to really get that inside me, that God's really working good for me. Because it didn't feel very good. I felt bad. And I thought, there's no end to it. I've said this many times. I'm going to say it again. Even misery has good things in it. Because, with myself anyway, probably the rest of you folks are on some other level, but with myself, I knew in misery the limits. I knew it can only get this bad, and that's the end of it. It can't go any worse than that. Probably isn't going to get this good either, but I mean, it can only go that bad. Well, with God, I never was sure. Because with my relationship with my father, he carried a big stick. No trial, you know. He'd come home and say, oh man, I was terrible. He'd say, I heard you talk back to your mother. I don't want to hear that. Because it wasn't going to be, we're going to talk about it. He's just going to say, drop your drawers. And he'd get this big old navy belt he had off, and he did legs. And he'd hold on to your hand. You couldn't get away. I tried crying. That didn't work. I was trying all this stuff to make it stop. He didn't stop till he was done. I said, well, I didn't figure out what that had to do with me. When he got done, he was done, and it was done. But I never could figure out a way to get him to stop. But I got to where, if I ever did anything with my mother, I spent the rest of the day pleading, praying, Mom, don't tell him. Just don't tell him. Because he never did it like he was mad, but man, he did it like he was into it. You know, he was enthusiastic, put it that way. He wanted me to remember it. And I did. And when he left, it really didn't shake me to my core, because I thought, Mom is never going to do that to me. She'll slap me in the face. Well, I take that rather than my legs, believe me. She'll slap me in the face, but, you know, if she gets angry, and she's going to get angry because she has real reason to be angry with me, but she's never going to take me and just put it to me. I said all that. We want to talk about a couple things this morning. I'll get you out of here before 4:11. Would you like that? Not. I was summarizing this morning because, as most of you know, nothing comes to me at night, and nothing comes to me in the week before, and I sweat blood, and I just finally got to where I don't do it anymore. I just think, I'm going to go to sleep, I'll wake up, and we'll do something in the morning, and that'll be fine, because I'm going to just have a nervous breakdown here, and ain't nothing going to happen anyway. And if I get something, I'll figure it out. He's not going to do that. He just knows me. See, I like it planned out, you know. I like that. I like that Jerry McGee stuff. You can just write it, man. I said, I can't remember the scriptures. I'm kind of like Paul. It's written. Go find it yourself, you know. You know, because in their day, you think Jesus said, got up to read the thing and said, now, folks, this is in Isaiah, you know, 61, whatever. You think, find it yourself. We're so lazy. You know, we are just so lazy. I mean, I think about times I used to get more, I think, when I just had a Bible and no Bible study program. I couldn't get the width that I get now, but I got pretty well got the point the same way. I just couldn't explain the Greek in those days. I can't pronounce it now, but I can explain it. I was summarizing this week, and I thought if I was going to summarize this weekend, all the meetings and everything, I would do it in three words. And this is what I heard from everybody, was Christ in you. Christ in me. It all seemed to come back to where if He ain't working, you're wasting your time. And if He isn't working, it's because you're not letting Him work. It isn't because He isn't trying to. It's because you're not letting Him. And then I thought, but if I was going to use it in two words, I'd do what I did the first morning. Was it morning? Morning. Follow me. I said, because If you're not following Him, you're not. No matter what's going to happen, you're not going to get it. Jerry McGee, last night, out of all that, my head was spinning because I can't get stuff and retain it. So, but two words I got. You know, I'm saying, you know, hallelujah, that's one more than I usually get if I get one. You know, I usually get one thing. And, you know, I'm big on that because we need to get our daily bread. You know, we really need to get our daily bread. We need to get it in the morning, get a word from God in the morning, no matter how long it takes. Be there, not begging and speaking, but be there in time where He can speak. Get a word for the day. You know, the next day He'll give you some more bread. But you got to spend time with Him, and it's no good to spend time at 10 in the morning when you've been working since 7. You know, you've already stumbled and fell, and you probably not even hearing anymore by then. You're so tight up. But you gave a couple of words that I got that were kind of interesting to me because He just put them in there. And one of the words was patience, and the other word was wisdom. Out of all that stuff, I get two words. But this morning, He brought them around and He kind of said, well, okay, we can do some stuff with those and let's go. Okay, I'm happy about that. Although now I confessed, you know, the first day, I'm good at confessing, that my printer kept saying supply. I guess that means it's getting low on something. It was because when I printed my notes out, it was a couple of pages that really got low, and I had to go through my pen and try to write them in there because you couldn't see them. So naturally, a couple of ladies here, the precious sisters, told me, we're going to Walmart, we'll pick you up some print, you know, some ink. That's okay, I'll get it, no problem. Because I thought, see, that it was one day only, see. Okay. And yesterday, I hear that it's not one day only, it's 2 days. So here I am this morning. And I get home and I'm already going, oh my goodness, I got no ink. What am I going to do? So I said, well, we'll just do this. We'll just do it and we'll see what happens. Well, we did it and we saw what happened. And it was pretty light. In fact, in some spots there wasn't anything at all. So then I thought, now I've got to get something here. Now I've got to eat and I've got to run to Walmart. So I can get some ink, so I can print this out, so at least I can see what I might be going to say. And I did. And I come back, and now I got nice. I'm loving this. 2 Peter, verse 1 says this. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's amazing, you know, that He puts everybody together. He doesn't look down. He gives you a position He's in, but He doesn't look down at you like, you know, you might get up here someday. But no matter how high you get, I'm always going to be at least one step higher. He's just not that way. He just, for a guy that was so out there and so going at him, you know, he'd mellowed out a bit, it looks like, by now. You know, God has a way of mellowing you out a little bit. It may take time. You know. One person said to me, you know, God really is a digger. I said, yeah, because we've got this stuff so covered up. It's the only way He can get there. The thing I says, I'll tell you one thing, it's better than even being a blaster. Because sometimes He does that. Sometimes He has to lay some dynamite in and blast, because we've got it so hard and so cold and so, to where we don't have feelings in some areas. I didn't believe that for years, and I can actually have areas of my life where I had no feeling whatsoever. And it was in pretty much in what? In relationships. There was a certain kind of relationship I could be in because I'd been hurt so bad, and I can't even remember how or when or who. I think sometimes, where did that ever happen to me? I was always doing it the other way. But then He reminded me, He says, you were doing it the other way because it had been done to you. I don't, small, whatever. So sometimes He has to get in there and really blow things out. But He's not trying to destroy you. He's trying to get your attention. We need to deal with this. We're always holding up the things that offend us. And it's amazing. You hold up something really bad. Well, Christians don't do that, but some of them do anyway. Really bad. And He looks at us, I don't care about that. I said, what do you mean? I got a scripture right here to tell you. I really care about that. Not right now. Well, what do you care about? Oh, I care about this. Nothing. Nothing wrong with that. It's a problem there, you know. Well, I shared this before, and I'm still, you can tell I'm still dealing with this after 40 years. He says, has God ever told you that He hates something in you? I'm not talking about dislikes. I want to get rid of it. I hate something in you. Hate it. Do you know how strong a word that is when God says it? Man. He told me, He says, one morning, I'm minding my own business, praying just hallelujah. You know, He says, I hate your wit. I wanted to say rebuke, you know, rebuke. But I knew where it was coming. He doesn't give me any big theology. He kind of cuts to the chase. Real short words, only a couple, three, and just, boom, and I'm thinking. Because my idea was, without my wit, I don't exist. I really believe that. That it was part of my core, the part of me. That if I didn't have that, I'd be in a room, and I'd be non-existent in a room full of people. Now, before I'd felt like I was in the doorway. I always felt this way. 1 foot outside and 1 foot inside. And everybody thinks I'm in the middle of the thing, but I'm not. But this was scarier. Because I thought, I'll be non-existent. What he was trying to show me was, that's something, that's a value you have from your core, but it's not your core. I want to get rid of it so I can show you the right value to your core. The right value of who you really are, not who you think you are. And I've been dealing with that for 40 years. Well, actually about 39. I was about a year in when he gave me that one. See, I hear all these things about how God talks all these flowery. He don't ever talk flowery things to me. I don't get those bouquet stuff. You know, I get that, you know, I ain't liking that. And he told me one time, he said, if you won't confess your sin to me in private, I will expose you in public. I thought, this program is not good at all. You know, I mean, really, it's just going south on me. They're telling me all this stuff. You get saved, baptized, it's no more problems. You're wonderful. I said, it's nothing but problems. I didn't have this kind of problems in the world. You know, I mean, truthfully, I mean, I didn't have this kind of problem in the world. I managed things and controlled things. And if I didn't, I said, adios. And I could change friends like changing horses, you know. And I did that. I'd go with them for a while when they got too close to me, you know. And bing, and I'd go get me another set of friends. I mean, a whole different set. I used to blame guys. I wonder how come the guys don't like me anymore. They never left me. I left them. You know, I walked off because they were too close. I felt they would hurt me. I knew they could hurt me. Almost. Not quite. I would never let them get to where they could. Or if they ever even inched there, I'd let them have it. I was telling Adriano the other day, huh? When I met people, I would sit there unconsciously looking for the weakness, for the thing that could really hurt them the most. I didn't care who it was. And man, as soon as I got that, I put it right in my pocket. Then I could go on and just be friendly and everything, because I knew if anything ever happened, I knew how to just shut them up. I knew how to devastate. And all I was saying, get away from me. You know, people thought I was very aggressive, but I was saying, just get away from me. You're hurting me. Get away. But I never let them know they were hurting me, but just get away from me. Get away from me. Leave me alone. Too painful for me. I'll go find some other friends. I'll start again. The funny thing was, I kept bringing myself with me. You know, that would be, if I hadn't went along, I would have been all right. But there I get there, and it, you know, it's not any time at all, and here we are again, right? I said, man, what's wrong with all these people? Do you ever do that, huh? What's wrong with all these people? Man, do they have any people that are really neat in the world? They're all a bunch of phonies. Because after I'm there a while, they get too close to me. But I didn't recognize that was happening to me consciously. I didn't recognize that they were, that's what the whole thing was about, till the Lord began to show me. He said, I want you to be vulnerable. He said, that's what true worship is. He said, I'm seeking worship. I ain't seeking followers. I'm not seeking it. I'm seeking worshipers. Because those are the people I can move through. Because I want to give my life through them. I'm not, you know, sometimes you look at the Welsh revival. Some of the things happened. The Holy Ghost fell in some of those towns and people got convicted. They didn't know what was going on. He came. And before this is over, He's going to come again. He's going to give us a latter rain and a former rain in one day. He's going to give us such a downpour. It's going to bring multitudes in and it's going to take multitudes out. And right now, we have a time to make sure we're not the ones that go out. And it has to do with what He's dealing with inside of us. Because in the end, it's going to be our choice. We may think, you know, like I did when I got saved, what kind of a choice is that? You're not going to speak to me again? That's no choice. You know, I mean, it really isn't. What, how can you call that a choice when you tell me, if I don't repent right now, you'll never speak to me again? What kind of a choice is that? I didn't think it was much of a choice anyway, you know? But see, if we're not prepared for those times when He comes, we're going to make some kind of movement. Nobody ever hears from God and stays neutral. Nobody. You hear from God, you do one or the other. You do move. And you never can go back to where you were. Especially if you're hungry. If you're hungry, you come up against it and you see the cost. Maybe just a little bit of the cost. But you see something there. And you can't do it. Now, you can't go back to where you were because that's where you had the hunger. So you got to go back farther. But it's safe back there. And then you try to go around the situation. You know, and 5 years later, you're with these people again and you're, oh, hallelujah, I'm right with you. But everybody knows you're not. Because you don't have what they attained with going through this situation. You don't have what they got from what they paid for. Verse 8, 5. So He says that we have attained precious faith. Then He says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. See, he's not checking you out and saying, do you have any faith? He's saying, you got it. If you're saved, you got it. And if you're not saved, then you need to get some. You know, you need to get right with God. You'll have it. You got it. That doesn't mean you're going to tear down buildings and all that stuff. But you got it. You have faith. He says, giving all diligence to your faith, add to your faith virtue. In the word virtue, I just give some really short definitions. I didn't want to overwhelm you with some of the long stuff they have. A virtue, which is moral goodness as a manly quality. I was surprised at that. It's made up of two words, and one of them means manly. You see, moral, you know, you're a moral person. Manly, not like a lady. Not passive. Okay, it's a manly thing. You know, we have that thing, you know, and, you know, we got from the Indians where we don't cry. So we got that from. Men don't cry. They cried in Europe. Believe me. But over here, we got that thing to where it's not manly to cry. My dad told me, I cut Dina my thumb off one time. I remember. You know, I'm, Daddy, look at this thing. It's hanging there. And he says, you know, he told me, don't you ever cry again. Men don't cry. You gunners, you swear at it. Ooh, I said, okay, I'll go for that. Right in front of you, huh? You know. So he tapes it back on and we go on our way. But from that thing, it was different. And I'm an emotional kind of guy. Kind of pretty much, really emotional. So I'd run away. Now, I had an experience here the other morning. You can pray for me later. We were worshiping the Lord. I had to leave. I had to get up and go out of this room. Because I always wonder what it meant when Paul said, you know, I'm there in spirit with you. I always wonder what that meant. You know, I said, how can that be? Because when he wrote to him, he had never been at this place. He said, I'm there in spirit. Well, we were worshiping the Lord. And I'm telling you, this actually happened to me. I'm hiding. I sense my wife right next to me. It was the weirdest thing. Weird. And it was like I could, when we used to worship together, we had this sound that came together. He just was one. He just was one. And I heard it. I mean, I heard it and I responded. And then I got chills because it scared me. You know, I thought, wow, what am I into here? You know, but I knew it was real. I knew it was God. And it reminded me, see, of who she was before this thing ever happened. And I couldn't deal with it. I jumped up and went out of the room. I had to get myself back. I had to get a hold of myself. You know, rather than I was going to break down right there in front of everybody. God and everybody. I'm going to break down right there. And it was such a personal, private thing. And I thought, because I've lost something, you know. I've lost this, who she was. It's you know, you think they lose something. They don't know they lost anything. But you're on the other end of it. You know you lost it. And you can't figure out. And Tammy, I'll never forget, Tammy told me one day, she says, you know, that's not the woman you married. I said, well, how do you know? You never knew her. He said, I'm just telling you, that is not the woman you married. But yesterday it was. It was just there. And I said, my goodness. I thought, God, you know, you're so good. When I finally got my composure and got back, see, I said, you're so good. Because I said, I'm going to hang on to that. You know, I'll cry right now if I'm not careful. You know, because we were, I don't know about love. Because my wife didn't love me. I mean, the night before I was going to ask her to marry me, she said, the Lord told her, he's going to ask you to marry him tomorrow, and you accept. You say yes. And she said this, I don't love him. You know, I like him, good brother, and we really have everything in common. Spiritually, we're on the same, never had a disagreement in our life. I can say that before God about spiritual things, ever, never. That's the only thing we had in common. From then on, it got pretty interesting sometimes. But it did, because we're both kind of strong. Neither one of us kind of wimpy at all. And I mean, she may sound sweet and everything, but she's a real barracuda if you get her stirred. You know, Samoans don't argue. See? When she gets mad, something's coming. Just tell you that. It's coming. At you. Some people know around here. Some of those nurses over there know too. They tried to tell me, she smacked two of them and tried to kick the third one over there at the hospital because they were trying to make her walk in a walker. Now, she can walk in a walker, but she ain't going to have anybody tell her to do it. And she whapped one, whapped the other, and tried to kick the other one. They said, you know, we're scared of that woman. I said, well, me too. I know. I just know, you know. So tell me, oh, she's so sweet. I said, yeah, okay. She throws things sometimes. I tell her, you know, when she really got bad, I says, you know what? Why don't you throw that at the TV just once? She looked at me and I said, and then we'll get rid of that thing. Because she liked movies for about 10 minutes. You know, she liked movies. So I get them on, and after 10 minutes, I'm interested, and she's in the other room. I said, just throw that shoe at the TV instead of at me this time. Oh, that stopped her. And I said, funny, sometimes you know exactly what's going on. You know exactly what's going on sometimes. And I used to think, I said, is she fooling me? Are you fooling me? But I found out they're not. You know, they're not fooling you at all. So add virtue to your faith. And then it says, to virtue, knowledge. And I did short, you know, things. Knowledge. Precise and correct knowledge, which is in the New Testament used of the knowledge of things ethical and divine. And sometimes, you know, we do things, he can't get it. And you know, he don't challenge you where he knows you own it. He don't even bother. He only challenges where he thinks you may not know you got it. Because he wants to rob you from it. That's all he wanted Jesus to do. Okay, you've lived a nice life and you're God. Let's see if you provide for yourself. Will you move separate from God, even though it wouldn't be wrong? But will you move according to the Son of Man? Will you move that way? He said, I'm not doing it. He didn't give up either. You know, he said he left him for a more opportune time. You're too strong today. We'll catch you when you're on a weaker side, you know. You know, when everybody's giving you trouble, then we'll come get you. And that's how he is with us. You know, we think we go through something and we win a battle, that we won the war. And then later on he comes back and hits us again, and we're devastated. We can't figure, how could that be? And then he says, well, because you really didn't win. I guess not. And then we give it up. And he grabs that thing that we won, that we fought for, and God, he grabs it back from us and he owns it again, and we're going to have to go back through it again and win it again. Little things. Those little bitty hills, you know, is where he'll get us on the mountains. We know God has to get us up the mountain, but it's those little foothill things that we know we can get over. It's where we stumble because we try to get over in our own strength. We don't go to God with the little hills. We just go with a big mountain. And he sits there and says, just come on, because I own this little hill. You've got to take it from me. And he did own it. He got it. What he took from us is his. How they say, possession is 90% of the law. What? And he's got it. We got the 10% that said it belongs to us, and he said, but I got the hill. And he's And he's serious about what he's doing. He is dedicated to what he's doing. I'm amazed. He knows he cannot win. He knows in the end he's got destruction and torment for eternity. And yet, he hates so bad. He's so consumed by his hatred that he's insane. You know, you'd think he'd be suing for peace or something, but he's not. He's just rabid. All right. And to virtue, knowledge, which is moral goodness. And to knowledge, temperance. Temperance, which means, in the short of it, self-control. Just pretty easy to understand, a little harder to maintain. But self-control. And he's not talking about, you know, when the glory's falling. He's talking about when there's opposition. Not being moved by it. You know, Paul gave that scripture we like to do, you know, running over mountains and all this stuff. I can do all things through Christ. But we don't do it in context. He's not talking about knocking down walls. He's talking about being able to live if he's got food or he don't have food. Without being moved by either one to excess. If he has a lot of food, it doesn't make him feel like he's doing great. Man, hallelujah. And if he doesn't have anything, it doesn't make him feel like he's lacking. He's not moved by those things. That's what it means. I can do all things. No matter where I'm at, where I find myself, I'm content. But I didn't get there because he imparted it to me. I've learned to be content in whatever state I find myself. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and you're not in the state you were when you went to bed. You know, you wake up and, man, where'd that come from? I don't know. It got there and I feel bad, you know, mentally. Got to deal with that. Am I going to stay there and let that just take my day? I need to spend a little time with the Lord and get this thing off of me. Because I don't need this at all. I have enough trouble on good days. Because none of them are, you know, I'm walking on the mountains. I got valleys and hills and swamps and whatever every day. And I'm sure you do too. And you know, the thing about it is, when you get older, don't make it no easier. Figure that out. I used to say, when I get old, I won't matter. Hallelujah. I get old as a man, it matters more than ever did. And that's true. I'm wondering how come old people never told us when we were young how this was going to be. You know? They just didn't tell us nothing. And then I was telling a young guy, I said, well, you ought to take that stuff for your prostrate. Here's some things you ought to take. Take them while you're young, brother. And he says, well, I need to hear that. I said, well, help yourself. Okay. Help yourself. I said, I wish somebody would have told me about all these things that guys run into when they get older. They told me I'd have probably took some vitamins before I turned 60. Because I wasn't eating very good. You know, I mean, Mar and I like to eat. Pretty much, we like to eat. We really prospered together in the beginning. I mean, she liked to eat and I liked to eat and there was no end to it. And Samoans like to eat. And every time we go to those things, they give you those soda pop can carton things for 24. That's what put the food in. About that high. I'm not kidding about that high. I mean, fish and chicken and just and pork. All that stuff. But up there. So the first time we were at one of them, I'm in there. And the men in this place, the men ate in one room and the women in another. So, and I'm in there. I'm trying to get through there. My eyes are already bugging out. There's so much food. And she's over there trying to wave at me. I finally go, I said, what do you mean, no? No. So I said, okay, no. So I just stopped. She told me later, you just eat enough to be polite. And then you take the rest home. And then we eat it all at home. And I said, wow. Because, boy, I mean, I was going under. I mean, well, I didn't know. And I'm not watching these guys eat. I'm just thinking, I know I'm the only white guy there. I'm thinking, well, I've got to eat this stuff. You know, I've got to. They put it in front of me. My dad told me, I don't care how much you eat. Clean your plate, brother. And to this day, I have that one. You know, I used to get rid of that soul, whatever it was. You know, I mean, I'm down there. Ain't nothing on the plate. I mean, you didn't want to have something on there at his house. I mean, he didn't like that. Because he said he'd been all over the world. And he was in the Navy and in the Merchant Marine. And he said, I've seen people. I walked out of my hotel in Calcutta and see a guy here starved to death right next to the door. He says, you know, I don't care how much you eat. Just eat everything. So I was trying to do my best there and try to eat everything. And Thank God she got to me before I exploded, because funerals and weddings, that's two things. Everybody gets together, and with Samoans, food is there. You're not going to say hello without food. You come into the house, someone can say, oh, get your coffee, get your food. That's just how that's just their culture. That's what they are. And the young serve the old. I'm waiting for that to get to our culture. You know, I mean, the young serve the old. I'll tell you, the men cook, because when they're young, they serve and they cook. And all the best cooks, you see barbecue, they're never women, always men. I mean, you see this big honking guy, you know, out there cooking barbecues. How come his wife in here? Oh no, he's a cook. She wouldn't dare get near that thing. He cooked. They're cooking all his life. I thought, what a culture. This is nice, you know. Except you just get bigger and you get bigger and bigger and bigger, because everything, you know, weddings and funerals, you see everybody you haven't seen, and you eat. And it costs a lot of money. Believe me. And they don't ask you if your family donate. They just give you the slip, tells you how much. They're not interested if you're on welfare or if you've got $1 million to make any difference. You're part of the family. This is what you put in. It's wild. And they do it, and everybody's happy. You know, because that's the way things are done. It's not like we're going to debate it. You know, because you don't want to be ostracized in that community. You know, because then you're really out. You just don't want that to happen. So, temperance is self-control. So we have to have some measure of self-control. God would like us to have a full measure. I think He's working on that. You know, we have to begin to take some self-control. Not in the flesh. You know, because that way, that is control. See, and usually that isn't us. That ends up being over somebody else. And He says, no. You can't. That's not what it's all about. It's about you. And to temperance, it says patience. And patience comes from a word that is made up from two words, and here's what they mean. First one, well, not first, could be a second, is to stay under. And the second one is to stay in. So patience means when you're under it, you got to stay in it. So if you're under it, don't try to get out of it. Stay in it till it's done its work, till it's completed. Now, we're not talking about when you die. We're talking about that particular thing that He's working patience in you. Let it complete itself. It's not going to be a college degree He's going to give you. It's going to be square one. You got that one. And we're going to go on, and we'll come back around again, and we'll do grade two. We're not going to, like Ada was saying, you know, if He'd have tried to fix us in the beginning, He'd have killed us. You know, we'd have died. All the stuff we had in us, and He said, okay, we're taking it all now. It's bad enough what He did take. You know, just the fact that He came and said, I'd like to pinch this little part. And we're like, because nobody ever told us. Nobody ever told us this is the real world with Him. All we heard was, when you get saved, it's just wonderful, and no more problems, and everything's fine. And my dear wife, they told her she'd be a different person when she came out of the water. She almost went, because she came out and said, I was just wet. You know, nothing had changed. I got baptized. I wasn't any different. Still felt the same and had the same thoughts. She had a difficult time with that, because she'd been taught by her parents that when you get baptized, your whole world changes. And it didn't. It's not true. Like Derek Prince said, you know, about baptism, were you ever buried? Or did you just get wet? You know, were you buried? Or what was it? Was it a ceremony or was it a burial? Okay. Then godliness, it says, and add godliness. And godliness means reverence, respect, and piety towards God. And then it says, to godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness means the love experienced between brothers. And it is a manly thing. But it's the love brothers experience, which are not your siblings, I love them, but I can't stand them, you know. Not that kind. But this is between brothers that love each other. It's that relationship they have. It's like Peter was talking about, you know, with Jesus. It's closer than just friends. It's like brothers, but it's not that love that God was really looking for. But He can get us from one place to the other if we're willing to go. He's more than willing to take us. And then it says, brotherly and to brotherly kindness, charity. And we all know that charity means God's love in action. And the reason it comes from the root, it's agape or agape, whichever you want to pronounce it. It's not the root. Agapeo is the root, and agapeo is a verb. It's love in action. It's not enough to love. It's not enough to love God. You have to have action with it. We have too many people that are loving God, but there's no action. There's no movement. We're sitting there waiting for what? For God to meet our needs. For God to take care of us. For God to make us have a happy life. For God to do, for God to do, for God to do. No action in our part at all. It's all His responsibility. I said, well, who's God? Sounds to me like I'm God. If that's where I'm at, I'm running the show. And I found that we were talking about that, was it yesterday, about there came a time with Israel when he said, you can fast, pray, humble yourself. I don't care what you do. I ain't listening no more. I'm bringing judgment, and I don't care what you do. Oh, it says by humbling. So I'm tired. I'm beyond it. See, there's a place God gets to where He's done. You can take a look in Jeremiah. There's a place where He is done. He said, that's it. I don't care. Jeremiah, I don't care what they do. Doesn't make any, I'm bringing it. Irregardless of what they do. They're past the place to where they can humble themselves with me. Because I know it's not the real deal. They just want to get out of their fix. Like us a lot of times. And then as soon as we get out of the fix, we're real for a few minutes. And then we start moving back over to where we're comfortable, get our control back, running our life for Jesus. But we're still back in the driver's seat. He's saying, no, 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 no. So that love has got to be in action. It's got to be something that happens. It isn't something we do for Him. It's something He wants to do through us. He wants to reach out Himself and touch people. He don't want us to touch Him. He wants to touch Him. And that doesn't mean, you know, may not be quoting Bible verses. It might be something very simple. It may just be being with somebody sometime. And them feeling that you're with them in a way that none of their other worldly friends would be. You're being maybe transparent with them about something you went through or something. You're not trying to get them up. You're just trying to let them know you care. You really do care. You've really experienced something and you really care. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, there's no godliness without patience. I think if one thing He's trying to deal with us now is patience. People are running to and fro. Christians, it's scary. Some of the things I hear from Christians is scary about the times that are coming. You know? Is there a safe place in this country we can move to? I tell you, yeah, wherever God tells you. That's safe. And if He don't tell you, it ain't safe. I mean, I really believe that. I mean, I've heard about some places and areas that are going to be safe. Well, that's fine. But I'll tell you, if God isn't telling you to be there, it won't be safe for you. It just won't be safe for you. But He can put you in the middle of the mess. And if He puts you there, it's safe for you. Now, it may not be physically very much fun. Doesn't mean you won't get persecuted. But it's safe for you. Because He's trying to save what's inside of us. He's not so worried about this stuff as we are. You know, He's trying to save what's in us. The eternal thing. He's trying to keep it from getting damaged. From our soul from getting wiped out. He says, so there, even no matter all the stuff going around you, it's a safe place for your soul. And I think that's an important thing in this day. It's important that we're in a safe place. It's important that we're hearing from God Himself. Man, I remember years ago, boy, I used to journal. But my journals were very short. In the morning, I'd just pray, and just pray, and win the Lord. And in the beginning, well, after I heard the better news than the good news, you know, that you can really get with God, really get with Him. Man, I was crawling the walls for a while. I was scraping in. I remember the first time that Ken and his sister came to our home back, oh, geez, I guess 73, maybe. 70. First time they came here. And we're in a meeting. And Ken says, Richard, relax. Relax. You can't get to that. I'm like, and I'm the leader. man, but I was just so hungry. I just was so hungry. I experienced some things in Los Angeles at Lee Ellenwood's church and when Edward Miller was there and Kenny Anger. I'd experienced some stuff that I wasn't calling in. It just happened. And from then on, I was trying to get it. You know, and finally, the Lord just got a hold of me and said, you know, in my time, just relax, spend time with me, get a word. And I get a word, and that would be my daily bread. That I said, boy, oh boy, I know that that's what we're going to work on today. Because it always was. Whatever He told me in the morning, during the day, that was the thing I honed into. That's where He's going to deal with me today. Remember, we used to always talk about the dealings of God. The dealings of God. I don't know whatever happens to that. You don't hear it anymore. Now it's the dealings of God. Now it's the glory of God and hallelujah and feathers falling and gold dust and whatever. Mara and I say, what's God saying to you? Because the first time when He told her about me, I came over there, you know, like a lamb to the slaughter. And I walk in and I said, well, Mara, what's God saying? He says, He's saying plenty and I ain't telling you nothing. And I thought, what's wrong with this woman? What's wrong with her? See, because I was still clueless. I'm still like a little lamb walking around. I don't know anything's going on. The Lord's already told her that we're going to get married. I'm just, hallelujah, me and Jesus in my van. We're just going down the road for Jesus. No responsibilities. Just we can live off nothing. I've done that lots of times. No problems. And here she already knows what's going to happen. I mean, she fought with God for 2 weeks over me. I'm the wrong color, wrong size. Yeah. I'm too old. I'm too young. You know, I'm too young for. It's a funny thing out there. Nobody really ever thought about that. She was in better shape than me. You know, she got me a gym membership for anniversary, if you can imagine. I said, "What are you? Gym membership?" But I went to the sauna and the steam room. That's where I didn't want. That pushing iron and stuff. My brother did that, and I used to say, man, what a waste of time, you know? You could be out there doing something, and then stretching, you had these springs, you stretch. I said, oh, man, I'm doing that stuff. Don knows. He knows I run from it. I run from that stuff. Him and his brother-in-law, they used to have all that stuff. I just look, oh, gosh, that's scary. So I go to the gym down here now and swim, you know? That's about as physical as I get. But, you know, but when it came the night before, I was sharing with this earlier the night before when she said, I don't love him. I don't love him. What am I going to do? And she said she was praying and the Lord just showed her heart and He just took it and opened it up and she said He just poured His love into her heart. She said He just poured it in there and I couldn't do anything else. So I'm coming over thinking I'm real neat, going to ask her to marry me. I come in the house, we're going to church and I'm trying to ask her to marry me and she's trying to tell me she loves me. And we're like, our first crash, you know, because she said it was so full in my heart, I just had to tell you. And I didn't have a phone. I didn't have any. And, you know, and she just was trying to tell me. And of course, I never knew till later that she didn't love me before. I mean, I was buying her big banana splits, and we were going out to the ocean, and sitting, our dates had this real neat place that made their own ice cream. We'd buy this big banana splits, and we'd go out and watch the ocean. Just eat. 6 months after I got married, I couldn't wear my wedding suit. I mean, we just were just plump. Listen, Mara, I hope you're not watching TV. My wife at one time weighed 238 pounds. I never knew that. Until years later, I saw a picture of her and this guy, Craig, is 6'4", about 280. And they were standing next to each other. They looked pretty much the same to me. I mean, they looked like brother and sister. And I said, wow, my wife was really a big girl. I didn't realize how tiny I was. I wasn't very tiny going that way. But God got a hold of us and we had to kind of cut the ice cream down a little bit. But it was good. All right. I'm almost there. The introduction. Patience. Steadfastness, constancy, endurance. In the New Testament, it's a characteristic of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and suffering. patiently and steadfastly. A patient, steadfast waiting for. A patient enduring. A sustaining perseverance. Nothing is going to move him. He is not going to deviate from the course that he's on. It comes from a word that's made up from two words that mean... He's looking to bring us to a place to where we are. Like my wife used to tell me, you're one track. She's coming. You're one track. She says, because when you get on that track, I'd go out to work in a car in the morning and she'd come out there at 5. Well, we're going to eat. Eat. Well, we haven't eaten. I just get into something and I won't quit till I'm done or nervous breakdown or something. You know, I mean, I just won't quit. But God's trying to bring us around to where He can get us to where we're one track in the situation to where what He puts in front of us, we're going to go for. We're not going to let the enemy pull us off the side, the brothers pull us off the side, somebody's vision pulled off the side, something else. But we're going to stay straight where He's leading us. No sidetracks. We had this thing called swimming upstream. Because I said, that's what I think this is all about. Swimming upstream. There's no floating downstream. There's no pools. You're just going upstream like the salmon returning to where they were birthed at. I said, but they had these little eddies off the sides. When eddies are kind of like little sloughs. And if you get off, they get off in there, they die. The problem with all those guys, when it was springtime, when they would run, when they had the salmon runs, there'd be a lot of water there. But as it subsided, these things would lose their places to get out. They get caught in there, and they die. And boy, the Lord will show you, you know, you've got to stay straight. If it doesn't make any difference. You're tired. Find a place to rest. Don't get out of the stream. Because once you do, it's deadly in there, even though it looks so much easier, so much nicer, and all you want to do is have a rest. You just want to rest for a little while. It's deadly. The water's stagnant, and there will be a time when you can't get out. Okay. The other word I want to deal with, just a few minutes, very few, is wisdom. I just want to give you this will be a quick one, or not. Just kind of give you a little thing that really, I just love. And it's found in Ephesians 3:10. I'm going to read 3:8-11, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Version. I'm going to read it out of the King James first, and then I'm going to read the Amplified. Unto me, Paul speaking, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Can you imagine where he'd come from, his background, how he'd been towards Christians, and the fact that God had given him this ministry? Actually, God didn't give him a ministry. God let him share in his ministry because it was really God moving out to meet people and showing him, you know, I can use anybody. We hold him up there so high, but he said, don't do that, you know. It just shows you God can use anybody. If he can use me, he can use anybody. Anybody. Because all the stuff he had going for him before he got saved was to no avail with the people God sent him to. I mean, they didn't understand Judaism. Any of that stuff. They weren't interested either. And then took Peter, who didn't have any of that good training, and sent him to them. I love that. Because God says, I'm going to be God. I want these people to know they're meeting me, not meeting you. It says, okay. Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word wisdom, that's what it means, wisdom. I tried to figure that out. I said, okay, it just means to be wise. In a most general application, to be wise. Webster had a problem with this particular word, so he defines it as complicated. Wisdom is something that's very complicated. Personally, I like what the Amplified says. Because it, many, many, many years ago, in fact, I was looking at Bibles the other day, and we always, whenever we got a Bible, we always get the date. And I said, man, I give that to my wife in 1973. I said, I didn't even know we had an Amplified Bible. Still. And there it is. I said, that's mine now. It said, here's what it says. And this is verse 10. Amplified. I love this. The purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere. This is in accordance with the terms of the eternal and timeless purpose which He has realized and carried into effect in the person of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have the boldness, courage, and confidence of free access, unreserved approach to God with freedom and without fear. Now, the thing that really impressed me was when he says many-sided wisdom. And this is something that, boy, it took me back many years. About one time, God began to deal with me about wisdom, and I had no clue what wisdom was. I'd never heard the term used. Didn't have it in our family, I'll tell you that. You know, there was no wisdom, it just was the hammer. And but he began to deal with me, and because I was hearing all these things at that time in California, they were coming from all directions, and all these different things, and they just confused me. And he said this to me, my wisdom is like a prism. I said, oh, not prison, prism. Okay, prism, not a prism, prism. Like a prism. If they throw the whole thing at you, it's confusing because it's very, very complicated. But if you only look through one facet, it's clear. Whatever color is there, it's perfectly clear. You have no problem understanding it at all. And he said, that's how my wisdom is. Different people are looking through different facets. So don't let them tell you this is the whole thing. Because it's not. There are many facets. Many different hues and colors. But when you look through one, you see it clearly. Just don't try to make everybody else join your church. You know, in other words, don't try to make it one size fits all. Because God is not that way. Now some people say, how do you know? I know. You know, I know not because I'm great. I know because He's confronted me. He's dealt with me. He called me and He said, follow me. Period. And He's been that way with me ever since. And sometimes it's painful. Sometimes I'm thinking, why can't I just be one of those people in the church? Hallelujah! I said, but there's something inside of me that is uneasy. I just can't stay there. And it's not like being spiritual because I don't see it being spiritual. I see it being crucified. I just see that. You want to be spiritual? The deeper the death, the greater the resurrection. And I really believe that. I believe some people get dead a little bit and they get resurrected. The deeper the death in any area of your life, the greater the resurrection of that His life in that place for you and to others. And it's not telling. It's being. It's just what comes out of you. Sometimes it's what comes out of you just being around people. They get weird because you don't swear. You know what I'm saying? They get agitated because you're not talking like they talk. Or if they start doing that stuff, you don't say, I don't go for that, brother. You just get up and walk out. It just agitates them. That's not you. That's not you, because if you were like, you know, if you were you, you'd probably sit there and listen to it anyway and, well, I'll plug my ears, you know, but I'll put up with that for the sake of friendship. But see, that's him. He is not going to put up with it. He will walk out, and he doesn't worry about what they think. Then he kills us. I like that when he says, well, this is when I'm going to close with this. You take this to the bank. Whenever something bothers me, he tells me, he says, well, son, if you're really dead, how bad do you think that would bother you? I say, what? If you were really dead, if you really died, you were crucified, if you were already dead, how bad do you think that what that person said to you would bother you? I said, well, probably wouldn't bother me at all. And he says, and you're probably not dead, are you? No, I'm probably not. He says, but we're going there. Little by little. You know that song, little by little. I said it the other morning. Little by little. Every day. Little by little. In every way. Jesus is changing me. Sometimes it's slow going. Lots of times it's slow going. But there's one knowing that one day perfect I will be. One day He will be finished on this side of the veil with what He's doing with me. On the other side, I just think we keep going. Because, you know, because there's no end to Him. He once spoke to Annie about eternity. And he said, eternity doesn't have anything to do with time. Eternity has to do with, eternal life has to do with depth of relationship. He said, some people will have more eternity than others. She said, how's that? She said, it's not time. It's a depth of relationship with me. The deeper, the more eternity. Well, she couldn't understand it, but it kind of settled something because they were doing a thing about time and trying to get time into eternity. And she wasn't feeling good about that because she said, well, how can it be? There's no time there. So he was saying eternal life is you have more, you have less. We all live eternally somewhere. We all are eternally somewhere. But whether it's with Him or somewhere else, and how we are with Him, we're going to be happy. You know, it isn't like we're going to be sad when we're with Him. I just tell people, you know, wherever, you know, heaven or wherever is fine. I just want to be with Jesus. I made up my mind a long time ago that wherever He is, that's where I want to be. Wherever it is. People say, oh, there might not be. I said, if there isn't any, I just want to be with Him. That's all. Just be with Him. Wherever He is, I'm going to be fine. Because He's the only person in this world I can't live without. And He's the only person that makes me feel secure. I found out I could live without my wife. I'm finding out, you know, you can do those things. But I said, I can't live without Him. I can't. So wherever He is, as long as I'm with Him, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be fine. Okay. In Him, because of our faith in Him, we dare, listen, we dare to have boldness, courage, confidence, a free access, free, doesn't cost us nothing, unreserved approach to God. Nothing hindering us, no veils, nothing saying you can't go, you've got to jump through this hoop before you can go, you've got to perform these things before you can go, you've got to do this. Nothing, nothing there. With freedom and without fear. You know, I wonder about those people in the Old Testament. They lived in fear. I mean, they lived in fear. They were performing to try to get, what do you call it? Not recognition. Acceptance. Acceptance. And we're accepted, and because we're accepted, He performs through us. I don't like the word I perform, because there I'm right back to me. But we're accepted, and He allows Him, allows Him to perform through us. Because He wants to reach out, listen folks, through you. He wants to reach out and touch people Himself. Not you touch Him. He wants to touch them. He wants them to meet Him. We're His representatives, but He lives in us and He wants to reach out there and get a hold of them. Lord, I just thank You for helping me. You know I need help. Just, I thank You, Lord, for helping me and give me a few words and just hope that my encouragement didn't down anybody. Just want to encourage people when you go back, Lord, you know, so that they don't lose what they've got here. They paid too much for it to lose it. Be with them, Lord. Be with us. Be with those traveling today, Lord. Be with those who will be traveling tomorrow and the next day, Lord. Be with us who are remaining here, Lord, and preparing for the summer camp, Jesus. Have Your way with us, Lord. Change us. Change us so that You can change others. In Your precious name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.